turn your Bibles today to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. We're going to read verse 1 through 7. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elijah, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and that the creditors come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elijah said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go borrow the vessels abroad of all the neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, and brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God. And he said, Go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Thank you, Jesus, for your word today. We ask, Lord, that you just speak to our hearts. I pray, God, that you touch every mother here today. Lord, I pray you just bless their lives and help them, God, to serve you and do your will. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I want to speak to you. Mom, what do you have in the house? She says, not anything but a pot of oil. Not anything but a pot of oil. If you would today, put yourself in the shoes of the widowed mother for a second. Your husband has just died and you are left with a substantial amount of debt to pay off. In hopes to raise enough money to pay off the debt, you sell all of your belongings besides what seems like a useless jar of oil. And you still don't have enough money to pay off the debt. On top of all these circumstances, the bill collectors needs the rest of the amount by the first of the month, or your two young men will be stripped away from you and be sold into slavery. You can't fathom the idea of your two young boys being taken away from you, but it seems it's your only option. So you decide to talk to the man of God. You talk to Elijah and hoping there is something that he can do for you, but his hands are tied and he doesn't know how to help you. In devastation, you pick up your things and you prepare to leave, but then Elijah asks you a question that will forever change your life. Mom, what do you have in your house? The question of the prophet asked, is irrelevant for us now, today, as especially on Mother's Day. You see, if we should save our children, folks, it begins with rightly answering Elijah's questions. What do you have in the house? And as we look into the text, remember that miracle story exists to teach us a lesson beyond what we see in the text. You see, the story is a great miracle. And through the prophet Elisha, God does the impossible. God causes the oil in the jar to multiply. You see, the point is not merely that the oil was multiplied. The point of the text is that the mother was able to save her children, provide for her future, and bless the community. Remember that this story was located in the house, in the mother's house, represented by a jar of oil. You see, the oil was in the house, and she knew where it was. The message behind the miracle begins to unfold, folks, when Elijah poses the question that sets the tone for this message, asking the mother in our text, "What do you have in the house?" Having heard her say that the creditors had threatened to sell her children into slavery to cover the husband's debt, "What do you have in the house?" can only be understood as a loaded question. Elijah was familiar with the process and that brought this woman to him. And after hearing of her husband's death, his creditors came to the house to get the money that he owed them. As his widow, she had to cover the debt from their assets. That meant she had to pay the debt in cash, or when the money ran out, she would have to sell her household items. So she to come to Elijah and explain that the creditor was going to sell her children into slavery was an indication that she had sold everything of value. So then what does Elijah mean by asking, "Well, what do you have in the house?" He knew that. He knew she sold everything. But he asked her, "What do you have in the house?" The only reason for Elijah to ask that question was because he knew that she had something of value left in her house. The only way for him to know that is for God to have revealed it to him. So in asking the question, Elijah is letting the mother know that God has already seen her situation and that he is at work. The mother already knew that she hadn't sold everything. But there's no way that Elijah could know that. That Elijah would even ask the question is an indication that God had told him there was something of value left in her house. But what could it be? You know, she had sold the Xbox and the iPad, the laptop and the furniture, the appliances, the cell phones, all of her jewelry, sold it all. Those things seemed to have market value. So the real question was, what was left? What did she have that she valued more than her worldly possessions? What was it that she couldn't bear to part with? That Elijah was going to ask about. He wanted to know what she had stashed away. What was worth keeping back? Something she just couldn't part with. The scripture says that it was a jar of oil. The original language makes it clear that both the jar and the oil were special. The jar contained a holy anointed oil, that special mixture of oil and spices, that recipe for which was set forth in Exodus chapter 30. This holy anointing oil was to be used solely, exclusively by priests as a part of worship. And under the Old Testament law, misuse of this sacred oil was punishable by death. This mother, a recent widow, had kept back a jar of holy anointing oil. And here's the thing, folks. The only way for her to be in possession of that sacred oil was for her husband, whom the text says was a prophet, to have also been a priest. Now remember, in the context of the text, this widow would not have had personal access to the anointing oil, as only men could be priests. So the jar of oil that was in her possession was, to use Elijah's phrasing, in the house. And because her deceased husband, he left it there. Now maybe this jar of anointed oil is all that she has left to remember her husband by. To her, this jar and its contents represent her husband's legacy. You see, she couldn't just sell it as if it were a chair or a set of dishes, or her and her husband's creditors couldn't take sacred, holy, anointed oil as payment for debt. So she stashed it away in the house, a keepsake, a reminder of her family legacy. And now here comes Elisha asking, what do you have in the house? Can't you just see the conversation unfold, folks, as Elijah's question had to make that mother nervous? She's got to be wondering, why is Elijah asking me about what I have in my house? See, having been married to a prophet and a priest, the woman in this text is, she's sensitive to the moving of the Spirit of God. And she knows when the Lord is speaking. And so standing between joy and fear, between hope and doubt, she answers, all I have left is a jar of oil. But see, folks, the beauty of the story is that this jar of oil is more than enough to save her children. In fact, it is enough to ensure their future and to revitalize the community. Listen, folks, what you need to save your children, to ensure their future, and to help your community today is in your house also. Come on. It's in your house also. No, it can't be found among your assets. It's not your jewelry. It's not your stocks or in your expensive gadgets. It isn't among your stuff. What's in your house is a jar of oil. A jar of oil that represents the legacy. It represents the hopes and dreams and the aspirations of those who have gone on before us. Amen. It is already there. It is in the house. It is waiting us to put it to use. It's in your house. And in fact, folks, more than enough there. There's more than enough there to save our children. It is stashed away in the house. But folks, we must claim it. Amen? We must lay our fingers on it. We must lay hold of the legacy left to us by our forefathers and our foremothers. We need to lay our hands on the oil today and say, I'm using this to save my children. I'm using this to save my family, to save the community. We need to lay our hands on the oil. Let me ask you on this Mother's Day, what do you have in your house? That is the question of our message today. Can you lay your fingers on your legacy? Do you know really today what you have? Do you know where it is? Can you identify the jar of oil left to us by those who have gone on before us? You see, for only then can we follow God's strategy. Come on. Only then can we follow God's strategy. Followed God's strategy, borrowed empty vessels from neighbors. And once that mother acknowledges that she has the jar of oil, Elijah shares with her the godly strategy that will save her children, bless their lives, and will revitalize the community. Elijah says to her in verse 3, and I'm paraphrasing, he says, go and borrow as many empty vessels as you can from your neighbors, and bring those vessels home with you, and behind closed doors, fill each one with oil from your jar. And fill them up. Fill all of them. Do Do you see it, folks? God's instructions through the voice of her pastor, Elisha. Take your legacy and pour it out into empty vessels behind closed doors with your children. Now remember, the jar was a special container, specifically filled with anointing oil. God's instructions through Elisha is to place the anointing oil, the legacy of the household, into regular, ordinary vessels borrowed from the members of the community. Now, the underlying Hebrew makes it clear that the vessels into which the oil was to be poured were ordinary vessels. Anything that could hold oil, a bowl, a cup, or a flask would have qualified. And why would God tell the mother to pour this holy oil that is her legacy into common vessels borrowed from her neighbors? Shouldn't the sacred oil be poured into sacred vessels? We'll look at that later. But listen, we need to learn to follow God's plan, folks. I said, we need to learn to follow God's plan. We need to yield to God's strategy and to stop trying to figure God out. Can you say amen today? We're always trying to figure God out. Well, why does God want us to do this? Why does God need us to do this, this way and that way? Why? I said we need to learn to follow God's plan. We need to follow God's strategy and stop trying to figure God out. You see, God will reveal what God is doing in God's own time. Amen? We just got to trust Him. The bottom line is this. Do you want to save your children or not? Come on. If we're going to save our children, we need to follow God's strategy. In fact, the text reveals that when we follow God's plan, God does more than we even ask for. God does exceedingly, abundantly above all that we could ask or even think. Amen? Amen? Now think about this. The mother only wanted to have her bills paid, and she only wanted to keep her children from being sold into slavery. She followed God's strategy without question. And because she listened, the scripture reveals that she not only paid off her debt and saved her children by obeying God through the man of God, she also ensured their future and she blessed the whole community. We need to trust the planner and trust the plan. I said, we need to trust the planner and trust the plan. Amen. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Now, why do we always buck the things of God? Why do we always think it's got to be this way or that way? Why do we always got to question God? Amen. Trust the planner. Trust the plan. You see, the purpose of the plan will unfold later on in this text as we talk about it. But there can be no unfolding of God's plan if we are busy questioning God instead of being busy following God's strategy. Hear me today? There can be no unfolding of God's plan in your life, folks, if you're always busy questioning God instead of being busy following God's strategy. God has a plan. Do you believe that today? God has a plan for your life. God's plan will work out for you. If you will just say, okay, God, I'm not going to question you. I believe in you. I trust in you. Come on, you can't serve God without faith today. You've got to have faith. Too often we're fearful. We're afraid to step out of the ordinary. But I'll tell you one, if you want to live for God, you better plan on being out of the ordinary. God's plan. He has a plan. God's plan will work if we will follow it. Let me remind you. What we need in the house, what we need is in the house. And God expects us to do what he said. Even when we do not fully understand what it is we are to do. God has a purpose. God has a plan, folks. Now, God intended that the mother share her holy legacy with the people from whom she borrowed these common vessels, because they needed her oil also. The prophet told the mother in the text, he said, pour the legacy out into common vessels. And we'll get to the why of God's strategy later, but I don't want us to miss its unfolding. The mother put her finger on her stash, the legacy in her house, and she followed God's strategy. But before she sold the oil, and as a result, received more than enough blessing of God, the mother in our text, she was a godly example. A godly example of obedience in her home. You hear me? A godly example of obedience in her home. Come on, boys. We got to go borrow pots. Why, Mom? Because the pastor told us to. Why? Why do we got to keep? Look, we got to. This is enough. He said, borrow as many as you can. Don't borrow just a few. But, Mom, this is plenty. Mom, go do what I told you. Go down there and ask if we can borrow that pot. Why can't we do it out in the backyard, on the patio? Because he said, do it in the house. A good example of obedience. Why do we got to close the door? It's hot in here. Because the pastor said to. Why? You know, all of God's creation obeys him, but the humans always say, why? Come on. He said, if we don't worship him, the rocks will. You ever heard of a rock worship God? He does. Why, God? Obedience. She was a godly example to her children. This is what the rules are, kids. This is what we're going to do. In her home, these things, this obedience taught her kids in private and gave them responsibility. She gave her children responsibility in her home. You see, that's what happened when, after gathering the empty vessels from the neighbors, as God commanded, the mother began pouring her sacred legacy into her children. Into these vessels. Hear these instructions of the prophet. He said, go outside and borrow vessels from all of your neighbors. Empty vessels, and not just a few. Then go in and shut the door behind you and your children and start pouring into all of these vessels. When each is full, set it aside. So many people today, you're not helping your children when you don't obey the things of God. If you want to be a mother that saves your children and saves your family and saves your community, I'm telling you, you need to obey the things of God. Amen. Listen to His authority in your life. Be a godly example of what God intends you to be. Amen. And it will bless you. It was exceedingly abundantly above all that she asked, above all that she even needed. I just read the examples. I just read the instructions of the prophet. So she left him and shut the door behind her and her children. They kept bringing vessels to her and she kept pouring. And after the vessels were gathered, the mother brought her children inside along with them, began working with the family legacy. Don't you see them in that kitchen? Mom got out the jars of sacred oil, and each child takes a turn bringing the empty vessels to her and watching her pour sacred oil from the jar into the vessel. No matter how big, no matter how small the vessel, there's enough oil flowing from the jar to fill it, folks. I don't care what your situation is. Amen. God has enough. Amen. And He'll keep pouring into those situations. No matter how many vessels they bring, the oil of their legacy just keeps on flowing. I don't know about you, but I remember some life lessons from my mom. Helping her do whatever she was doing. Can you hear them talking as mom keeps pouring the oil? This is how we live for Jesus. This is why we do what we do. I'm leaving you a legacy. I'll tell you what, man, mom and dad never tolerated me sassing an adult. Never. Mom and dad never tolerated running down the pastor. No. Mom and dad had a legacy. This is how we live. We go to church when it's time for church. They're pouring legacy into us. I'm telling you, folks. They're pouring that legacy. And there's always enough legacy, amen, to keep filling those vessels. Keep filling it. To be that example that they needed us to see. Amen. We live this example. We live it every day. We do it not only in church. We do it behind the doors of our home. We live for God. Here's your legacy. Let me pour it into your life. You want your kids to live for God? Live behind the doors. Pour your legacy into them. I thank God for a legacy. I thank God that they poured into my life. I'm here today because my parents poured into my life the legacy every day. This is how we live for God. We're doing what the man of God tells us to do. Don't sass them. Don't give me any sass back. You do what the pastor tells you to do. You live the way he tells you to live. There's no question. Respect your authority. Come on. You live for Jesus Christ. You dress like an apostolic. Amen. You, in order to be saved, come on, folks, when we were born, we weren't saved, but they taught us. If you want to be saved, you got to repent of your sins. You got to be baptized in Jesus' name. And if you want to go to heaven, you got to be filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Come on, they poured a legacy into me. Hallelujah. They said, this is what God wants for you to do. This is how you got to do it. I hear the mother telling her children, you know, this is our family legacy. And she's pouring that oil. This is your father's jar of holy anointing oil today as we're pouring this. It was his father's before him. And your daddy and your granddaddy took it to work every day with them. And your dad said it, remember, reminded him of the good old days. Your dad said, this eased his mind having this legacy. And when things got tense in the temple, when things got rough in his life, amen. And when he was off of duty, it reminded him of the sacred trust that belonged to him, amen, as a priest. And as the children brought the more vessels to the mother, she poured more oil. And she poured more oil. Now I imagine one of the kids asked Mom, "Mom, are they going to come and take us away?" "No, honey, you let me worry about that. Just go get me another vessel. This one's full. Get me another one." It was their family legacy, and it spoke to them. It spoke to them of the past. It spoke to them of the present. And it spoke to them of the future. And I can imagine that Mom used the time and Mom used that opportunity to teach her children. It was the kids who brought the vessels to their mom, and she poured out the oil. Mom taught her children to engage in their legacy at home, not just in the temple, but at home. Your home needs to be a temple of God. Your home needs to be a place where they can feel the presence of God. Because if you want them to worship and shout in the church, they got to live for God at home. Get rid of Hollywood. Turn Hollywood off. Amen. And talk to them about your legacy. Talk to them about what is important to you. Mom taught her children to engage in their legacy at home. She made them responsible. And she made them partake in the activity that would ultimately save them. Let me tell you something. There were things that I fussed with them about. There were things I didn't want to do. But I'll tell you what, I'm glad they made me do them. Today I am so thankful that they poured into me. And they said, "You will do this as you live in my home. You can do what you want when you leave, but when you're here, you're going to do it. We're going to partake in the legacy." Hey, you think these children are probably, "Mom, don't we have enough? Why do we got to fill all of these? Get me another vessel. Get me another vessel." She made them responsible, made them participate in the activity that would ultimately save them. Hear me? I said she made them responsible and she made them participate in the activity that would ultimately save them. See there? Why, Mom? Why? Why are we doing this? Why? Don't worry about the why. Just be obedient. Now, don't miss this, folks. The children participated in their own deliverance because Mom taught them there to work with their legacy. Can't you hear her talking with their children about the hopes and about the dreams represented by that special jar? And as she filled those empty vessels with oil, she schooled her children about their legacy. She talked to them about the God who promised to supply every need. You see, they were the kids of prophets and a priest. Theirs was a legacy of hope and a legacy of faith and trust in God. Let me tell you, there's a lot of things I didn't do that other kids did. But I got a legacy. Come on. I said, there's a lot of things I didn't get to do. You can't do that. It's church night. You can't do this. We don't believe in that. But folks, I have a legacy today that I wouldn't trade for the world. You see, they were the kids of a prophet and a priest. Theirs was a legacy of hope, a legacy of faith, a legacy of trust in God. Amen. And as I say, the community needed this. Amen. The community had lost a lot of their oil. See, there was other priests and stuff in that area. That's how she was able to help the community. And yes, you can learn some stuff about who you are and whose you are in the house of mom. Fully satisfied, she paid off the debt and took care of the problem. And still, there was enough to go around for later dates. Now, this passage doesn't tell us about how many vessels they filled up. But we know that the mom had followed the prophet's instructions and gathered quite a few pots. Because the text says they, the children, kept bringing vessels to her. And she kept pouring right up until the last vessel was filled and the oil, therefore, stopped flowing. The children had plenty of time to become familiar, thoroughly familiar with their legacy. And how it was, and now it was time for the final stage of God's plan. God would grant her resolution and she would therefore be fully satisfied. All the vessels are filled. The oil has now stopped flowing. And now the text says the mother went back to the pastor Elisha to get her final instructions. And Elijah tells her, go sell the oil and pay your debts, and you and your children can live on the rest. That's good news, folks. But before we shout over the fact that her children were saved and all of their futures secured, let me ask you a question today. Who did the mother sell the vessels to? Now, there's two principal guides that guide the deductive answers to this question. You see, the vessels she used were borrowed. How do you sell a borrowed vessel? Huh? And the vessels all now contained holy anointing oil. And there's a third cultural nuance that helps answer the question. At the time of the text, priests and their families lived in communities with the other priestly families. So the vessels were borrowed. They were empty. And then sold back full to the priest who lived in the same neighborhood as the mother in this story. In other words, the reason that the mother was able to save her children was that her family remained true to the legacy of the community, even when others in that same community ignored their legacy. And the reason everybody bought anointed oil from the mother in our text was because in the area of priest in whom she and her children lived, she was the only one who had any anointing oil. The only reason she had any was that it was a part of her household legacy. A legacy that she passed on to her children as she shared with them behind closed doors while they poured the oil into empty vessels. Mom had what her children needed. And when she shared it with the larger community, Mom discovered that her oil was more than enough to meet the need. Folks, God did it. God did it like God always does it. He takes our little. And when we follow God's instructions, God makes it more than enough. Doesn't he? Hallelujah. Is there anybody here that can testify with me today that God does always enough? There's always enough with God. Hallelujah. Always enough. God will always do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or even think. Mom, hold on to your oil. You need it. Your children need it. Your community needs it. And yes, it was the oil of the legacy of our people. A legacy of dignity. A legacy of integrity and community. But that oil was also sacred. Moms who raised their children. Moms who disciplined their children. Moms who changed their communities. And moms who know Jesus. Those were moms. Those are moms who say have some oil in their house. Hold on to that oil. Whatever you do, don't give up the presence of God in your family, in your home, in your life. What do you have in your house? You need to have some oil. See, in this modern age, we try to be so cute to stand here today. We're trying everything. But it seems like we're trying everything but the presence of God. Right? The world says you just need this and you need that. You need this. And sometimes the church gets caught up in that. And we're trying everything else to take care and satisfy our needs. And we're trying everything but the presence of God. But it is the presence of God, Mom. It is the presence of God, Mom's oil, that will save our children and will revitalize our communities. As you can tell, I miss my mom today. But folks, let me tell you something. They poured into me. They poured into all 8 of us, 9 of us, with my foster brother. And there was times that I didn't listen. There was times that I rebelled. But it always played here in my mind. I always remembered that oil that was poured into me. You see, the Bible says, train up a child in the way they should go. When they're old, they will not depart from it. And there was times when I was out there and I was drinking and carrying on and doing things I knew I shouldn't. I knew I shouldn't be doing it. But see, that oil that was poured into me, I never forgot it. And I know that Mom and Dad were on their knees praying for me. I know they were. I know they were. There's no doubt in my mind they poured into me. One of the things they poured into me is when the doors of the church are open, you be there. And even doing all the stupid stuff I was doing, I walked in every time the doors were open and I sat in the back row. I didn't sing, I didn't clap, I just sat there and stood there. Whenever they stood, I stood. Whenever they sat, I sat. And then I would leave after church and go do my stupid stuff. Until one day, God shook me up really good. When I was speeding in the car, poured into my driveway, and my tire just fell right out. And I said, okay, God, I can't hear it anymore. I got to get back. I got to get back to what that anointing told me and taught me. And I found myself on my knees talking to God. Hallelujah. It's never been the same since. And from that moment on, I just wanted to do something from God. I wanted to do something great for God. And I remember as a kid in church, when preachers would come, and I would think to myself, I want to do that for God someday. He's faithful. There was always enough oil. Always enough. And it was poured into me. It was poured into my brothers and my sisters. So many of them are doing a great thing for God today because of what was poured in. Don't tell me it doesn't work. You can't tell me. You can't convince me it doesn't work. And see, as I lived for God and I was doing the things of God, and God began to bless my life. If you want the blessings of God, don't try it on your own. Let God do it for you. And if you want the blessings of God, you got to do it His way. Hear me? You have to do it God's way. My pastor always said, you'll do it God's way or you'll do it God's way. Come on. And then when I was blessed, I wanted to pour into my children. See, there's always enough oil to pour. There's always enough oil to pour. And I thank God that I see that they're pouring today. Come on, folks, when you do it God's way, when you listen to the man of God in your life, amen, and when you follow the things of God. There was things my pastor said I didn't totally always agree with, but I did them because he's my pastor. See, God is faithful and God is true. I know this is Mother's Day. I'm going to ask the mothers if you'd like to come and just talk to the Lord. But fathers, anybody else who wants to be a mom, anybody who wants to be a parent, come on, how about just today? Say, God, I want that legacy in my life. I want to be able to pour into my children. I want to be able to pour into my community. How about it today? Can you come up here and say, God, help me just to pour into my community. Those that are around me, I want to be. Hallelujah.